back to our subject of the King is coming. The King is coming. And that little chorus, it's in our hymn book. And it belongs to a bigger song, which I'm going to say right now is very confusing wording. Blessing on Brother Bill and Sister Gloria Gaither. But their theology and their prophecy gets a little scrambled. And most of that song is not about the rapture. It's about the King coming at the end of the tribulation period to set up his kingdom. I can hear the trumpet sounding, it says in that chorus. Well, you and I are going to hear a trumpet sound, and that's called the rapture. The Bible says that when we hear that trumpet sound, we, the church, the body of Jesus Christ, are going to be caught up to meet him in the air. The dead are going to rise first, the dead being the dead in Christ. And we who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet them in the air. And so shall we ever be with our Lord. Now we are called the bride, we're called the body, we're called the branches, and we're called the building. Remember the four B's. The church, the body of Jesus Christ. The church, the building of Jesus Christ. The church, the branches of Jesus Christ. He said in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. And then in several other places, we are called the bride of Christ. And he is the bridegroom. Matthew chapter 25 deals with some parables about that. And then, of course, when you get over to Revelation chapter 19, we have the King coming. And you and I are going to be with him. And he's going to come down and he's going to put a finish to Antichrist and all of his followers and has set up this wonderful kingdom. And we have looked at the fact that it is called the millennium. And yet the word millennium is not anywhere in the Bible. But the word millennium comes from the Latin for thousand. And the term thousand is certainly found in the book of Revelation chapter 20. And in Revelation 20, verse 6, we looked at it last week. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. The second death hath no authority over these, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with him 1,000 years. Matthew 6, verse 9 and 10. Therefore pray in this way, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. I want us to think about the fact of the revelation or of the millennium. And so I put those up on the board before last week or with you last week. And we looked at the fact that Jehovah decreed it, Psalm chapter 2. Christ the Messiah taught it in Matthew 24 and others. The scriptures teach it. And we looked at some Old Testament scriptures. And then the psalmist even described it. And we looked at Psalm 24 and Psalm 72. Now this morning I want us to see that the angels declare it. And we're going to go to a Christmas passage. So let's all turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And I'm going to begin in that favorite, very familiar passage starting at verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. He was of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel, Gabriel, said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great." Pay attention now. "He will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." So certainly the angel declared in Luke chapter 1 the fact that the millennium was coming, the kingdom is coming, and Jesus is going to rule over that kingdom. We learned that much. Now, back up a few pages in your Bible and get to Matthew chapter 16 and the end of Matthew 16 as it becomes Matthew 17. And I'm going to start in Matthew 16, and I'm going to start at verse 27. "For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you that there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Now, what in the world did he mean? Were Peter, James, and John, and all the other 12 apostles, are they going to be sticking around until the end of the tribulation period? No. And that's just a little preparatory statement for what we find in chapter 17, starting in verse 1. "Now, after 6 days..." Remember, 6 days after what I read in verse 28, 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brought them up to a high mountain by themselves. Now, the highest mountain in that part of the world is Mount Hermon, which is north of the Sea of Galilee. In fact, the melting snow on the top of Mount Hermon is what keeps the Jordan River alive and flowing into the Sea of Galilee, and out of the Galilee, the Jordan River flows all the way down to the other end of Israel to what is called the Dead Sea. And there it ends. And that's why it's called a Dead Sea. The water coming in never goes out. It evaporates and leaves behind the richness of all kinds of chemicals and salts that are used in all kinds of things. And the wealth of the Dead Sea is in the billions and billions and billions of dollars. So where did Jesus take them when he took them into a high mountain? It's believed he took them to the top of Mount Hermon. Now these four people, Jesus, Peter, James, and John, they have quite a hike. And by the time they get to the top of the mountain and settle in for their evening campsite, it's dark. Got that? Pay attention. Jesus took them into a high mountain by themselves and was transfigured. What's that word mean? He was changed in his appearance. He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them. How in the world did they know who they were? How did Peter, James, and John know that it was Moses and Elijah? Maybe Jesus introduced them. Did it frighten them to suddenly have these two Old Testament guys standing there in front of them? somebody they had read about in the Old Testament, they knew about, they'd been taught since a Hebrew school as little boys. Suddenly they are in the presence of men who are in their glorified bodies. Now there's a lot of prophecy in this Moses and Elijah thing. We're not going into that today. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." How come you didn't want one for him and Peter and or he and John and James? I have no idea. But he wanted to keep them around. Why? Because they were seeing a glimpse of what the kingdom will be like. Jesus glowing like the sun. Jesus' clothes suddenly looking like fluorescent lights, brilliant, bright, his face radiating. Now, the next time you're going to see that picture, you got to go to Revelation chapter 1. We're not going there today. We went there on Wednesday night. Revelation chapter 1, and see Jesus in all of his glory. Radiating there to John. Excuse me, it was last Thursday morning in Seasoned Saints that we looked at that passage. Jesus, glorified, transfigured is the word. Let's go to another one. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. The Gospels outline it. Matthew 9, verse 35. And Jesus went all about the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the kingdom or the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest." Who is the Lord of the harvest? Jesus Christ. In other words, ask me to send out laborers into the harvest field. What's Jesus talking about? Back in verse 35, he's talking about the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. Now, some people will say, well, the gospel of the kingdom is different than the gospel of the cross. No, it isn't. How do you get to live in the kingdom? You've got to come to the cross. You've got to come through to Jesus Christ, who alone is salvation. And of course, we run out of time so very quickly in these situations. And we're going to stop right there. But I'll tell you what, a couple of weeks from now, we'll get back to this and try to put an end to this. Next Sunday, Pastor Mike Peck will be here. And then we'll come back to this subject, and then we'll go to Thanksgiving. And then we'll be getting into Christmas. Wow. Exciting times of the year, isn't it? God is good. Let's bow in prayer. All the time. All the time, God is good. Father God, we come into your presence. We are excited about what's coming ahead. Nobody has ever lived in more exciting time than this, Father. As we approach the end of the age, as we look for and believe in the rapture of the church, which could happen at any moment, and then all of those events that you have outlined in the Old Testament are going to come to pass, and then the tribulation will come. Lord, what exciting times we live in. Help us to be winning our family and our neighbors and our friends and our co-workers to you before it's too late. And God, if there's a man, a woman, boy, or girl in our midst, I pray that you will work in their heart by your convicting Holy Spirit. Bring them to faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Even at this moment, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.